Hello, good afternoon. And first of all, I'd like to apologize for this delay due to technical problems, you know, with these live broadcasts. Welcome to the results conference for the second quarter at CIE. Unfortunately, the headline for the quarter in our sector is not at all positive. In fact, in vehicle production data, it has been the worst quarter in the history of the automotive industry. The month of April started with industry practically shut down, being China the only exception. China by then was at utilization rates of 75% on average. The plants of our customers in the rest of the regions gradually opened up during the months of May and June. While the reopening of plants was excellent news, we have to consider that the initial activity levels were very low, and in fact they are still below pre-COVID levels, again with the single exception of China, a country that is proving so far what seems to be a clear V-shaped recovery. Moving on to the details of specific geographies, and we go from bottom to top, starting with Brazil. The OEM plants have shut down their activity at the end of March and have been shut down on average 10 weeks. They reopened at the beginning of June. Production shows a sequential improvement throughout the quarter, but they were lower every month, minus 100% in April, minus 86% in May, minus 58% in June. In the second quarter, minus 82%, and this implies a first half of minus 51%. As a reference, the average activity level for the industry at the end of June was approximately 35% of pre-COVID levels. The fact that Brazilian authorities are having trouble in controlling the spread of the pandemic is having a major impact on the rate of recovery of this market, which means that the vehicle inventory levels are very high in comparison to the current demand, something that does not contribute to production recovery. We move on now to India. The sector there also closed at the end of March, with plants shut down on average for 6 months, and they opened up in this case at the beginning of May. Productions also show a sequential improvement with a shrinkage of minus 100% in April, 91% in May, and 62% in June. The second quarter closed with a drop of 86%, implying a first half of minus 51%. The average activity level for the industry at the end of June was approximately 35% of pre-COVID levels. As you know, COVID keeps spreading with little control in India, which together with the complex situation of the financial sector and an abrupt transition in the matter of emission standards has created a perfect storm for the automotive sector. Therefore, India is finding it hard to recover its production volume. In the case of India, it's going to be important to monitor developments in rural demand in order to determine to what extent it's capable of offsetting the higher drop in demand in urban areas where the impact of COVID is greater. Last year, rural sales represented around 40% of the country's internal demand. Moving on now to Europe, where the OEMs also closed during the second half of March, and they have been closed for 6 weeks on average, coming back to work at the beginning of May, and have gradually recovered their activity at the end of June to around 70% of pre-COVID levels. The result of this has been productions that also improved month by month, but which are lower in comparison to last year, minus 94% in April, minus 65% in May, minus 29% in June, and the second quarter closed at minus 63, with a first half of minus 40. Vehicle production in Europe is recovering more slowly than other mature markets like North America, among other reasons because the inventory levels are somewhat higher. And in Europe, there is also additional pressure to destock vehicles that do not comply with the Euro 6D standard that comes into force in January 21. We therefore believe that the vehicle destocking rate, to a large extent, will set the production recovery rate. On the upside, we have to pay close attention to the impact of the incentives for the automotive sector recently implemented in several European countries. At the end of May, they were implemented in France, Germany, Spain, and Italy also did the same during June and July. And additional incentives are being worked on in parallel on a new EU level, although nothing is final yet. And talking about the American market, the OEMs also closed at the end of March at a similar time to other regions like Europe, India, and Brazil. They were closed for approximately 7 weeks and reopened in the second half of May. However, the difference is that the ramp-up profile for the North American industry is much more favorable than in other regions. Their activity levels went from approximately 15% in May to over 70% at the end of June, both in comparison to pre-COVID levels. But even bearing in mind this ramp-up, North America has not been free of drops in production every month. The month of April at minus 99, May at minus 85, and June at minus 24. The second quarter closed at minus 69, and the first half at minus 40. This favorable recovery of production in North America is due, among other things, to factors such as a macro plan for general economic incentives in the U.S., inventory levels that are lower than in other regions, helped along by the GM strike in the fourth quarter of 2019, or the high incentive levels provided by the OEMs themselves to end customers. Finally, another positive news for the sector has been the grace period that has been granted for the new Trafta Treaty, the famous USMCA, so that fines for non-compliance can only be imposed as of July 1st, 2021, although the treaty is already in force since July 1st, 2020. In China, China has proved a very solid gradual recovery during these recent months to a degree that production grew by 9% in the second quarter, a quarter that improved as it went along. April minus 1, May plus 15, and June plus 14, and a first half which has closed overall at minus 20. At the closing of June, the average activity levels for the industry in the Chinese market were already slightly over pre-COVID levels. As a result of this favorable development, the inventory levels continue their downward trend, which is very positive for production, but we want to be prudent with respect to the second half of the year in China, bearing in mind that some of the incentives provided by the Chinese government to the automotive sector ended at the month of June, and there's no clarity about them being renewed. All this means that the market has shown a significant contraction in production, minus 61% in April, minus 50% in May, and minus 21% in June, which implies a second quarter of minus 45% and a first half with a total of minus 33%. But to understand and contextualize how CIE sales have evolved, it is key to highlight how the geography mix of each company is, especially in this Q2, with special relevance of the China footprint. CIE's automotive market mix has showed contractions much higher than the global market, minus 86% in April, minus 66% in May, minus 29% in June, which implies a second quarter for CIE of minus 61% versus a global market at minus 45%, and a first half of minus 40% for CIE versus a global market with minus 33%. Moving on to the performance side, the results show more than ever that the CIE income statement is extremely resilient, although of course, is not immune to a synchronized drop in our markets in the worst quarter in the history of the automotive industry. A resilience which, to a large part, is the result of lessons learned in the past. For example, the need to maintain a significant level of workforce flexibility, or the importance of growing while diluting fixed costs, aspects that are critical and which have proved to be differential in situations such as this. To all this, we have added the specific COVID-19 action plan, and all this has proved its value. This plan, as you will remember, was launched in March. It has been fully developed in the second quarter and is based on four fundamental pillars: workforce flexibility, war economy in fixed costs, capex and working capital, financing and liquidity, and finally, productive planning. With all this, we would like to highlight the following in our performance: a positive EBITDA of €13 million in the second quarter, where our market has dropped by -61%. An EBITDA margin on turnover of 13% in a first half, where our market fell by 40%. An EBITDA margin, which with this drop in sales, has only lost slightly over 300 basis points compared to the pro forma 2019 margin with acquisitions, and a P&L that closes the worst half year in the history of the automotive industry, with all lines showing positive and with a net income of €58 million. In spite of such a negative context that we're talking about, our financial discipline has enabled us to maintain a high level of EBITDA conversion to operating cash flow. With a slightly negative flow of minus €17 million in the second quarter, we have closed the first half of the year with a conversion ratio of 46% and with €65 million in operating cash flow generation. Our strategy focused on cash flow is emphasized by the fact that in the month of June, with a production level of approximately 60%, we have generated both operating cash flow and positive free cash flows, starting to deleverage a balance sheet which reached its debt peak in May. Talking about CapEx, we have limited it to a maintenance and safety, to a guaranteeing above all the continuity of supply to our customers according to the action plan that was established. Specifically, the CapEx for the second quarter has been reduced to €25 million. €25 million in comparison with the €49 million in the first quarter, half. If in the first half we managed to reduce CapEx to close to 70% of the budget, in this second quarter we have reduced it to 50%. Regarding net working capital, although the second quarter is usually linked to divestments, as a reference, the more than €80 million positive generated in the second quarter of last year, the investment this month has been of little significance, only €30 million, fundamentally related to the drop in activity and less factoring. And I'd like to remind you that we had €126 million in factoring in June 2020, versus the €220 million in December 2019. This investment of €30 million, together with the €60 million invested in working capital in the first quarter, amount to €90 million in working capital in the half year, an investment that we expect to recover in the coming months, in parallel with the gradual recovery of the activity, factoring, and optimized stock levels. Regarding the shareholders' payout, in January, the interim dividend was paid out, amounting to €48 million. During the second quarter, we have continued with the share buyback program to reduce share capital, and we have exceeded 3% of the capital with an investment of just barely €60 million, €34 million in the second quarter, and we have increased by 2 points our stake in our India listed company, Mathia India, up to 58% stake, which has represented a payment in the second quarter of €9 million. Bearing in mind all the above, together with the M&A payments in the first quarter, the net financial debt was €1.771 billion in euro at the closing of June, an accounting DFN EBITDA ratio of 3.9 times, which in normalized terms would be less than 2.7 times. In relation to this, another highlight for the quarter is the agreement reached with our financial creditors, both commercial and institutional bankers, with a covenant waiver for the financial covenants of 18 months up to June 2021 inclusive, a waiver which, in view of the high cash flow generation capacity shown by the CIE Group, comes without limitations to our current shareholder payout policy based on the payout of dividends and the current buyback program to reduce share capital. We face the rest of the year with the firm purpose of continuing to generating cash flow and deleveraging the balance and a solid starting point, which means a liquidity reserve of over 1.1 billion euros, very similar to that in December 2019. And we've worked very hard to maintain those levels after such an exceptional first half. Finally, and we can't finish without talking about the future, in the estimates for developments in vehicle production market, we have started to see a stabilization in those estimates and less dispersion around the consensus, and we'll quickly review the forecast by geographies. In China, the second half is expected to be better in absolute volumes than the first quarter, but even so, a drop is estimated of 3% in the third quarter and 10% in the fourth quarter. For the total year, the forecast is a shrinkage of minus 13%, and for 2021, a growth of 8%. India, bearing in mind the context mentioned earlier, the forecasts for the second half of the year are not very positive. The third quarter, minus 27%, and fourth quarter, minus 7%. Which implies a year with minus 35%. The other side here is that in 2021, it is expected that India will be one of the countries with the biggest growth, a forecast of plus 27%, which would almost offset the losses in 2020. In Europe, the passenger vehicle will recover somewhat during the second half of the year, but this recovery is expected to be slow, with a third quarter with a 10% shrinkage and a fourth quarter with minus 7%, implying a year of minus 25% and a year 2021 where a growth is expected of 15%. And talking about the truck market in Europe, the latest estimates talk about a shrinkage in 2020 of 22%. Germany, which is the benchmark market for SAIE, is expected to shrink by 25% in the year. Although the second half of the year is expected to be better than the first, it's estimated that Germany will drop 4% in the third quarter, and it's expected that it will grow 3% in the fourth quarter. For next year, Europe is expected to grow at around plus 18% in Europe and 15% in Germany. North America. As I mentioned earlier, the North American market shows somewhat better prospects than other mature markets. The third quarter minus 2, fourth quarter minus 6, we will close the year at minus 23, and for 2021, a growth of 16% is expected. Finally, Brazil. Uncertainties about Brazil regarding the handling of the pandemic. And this is one of the first forecasts regarding production for the second half of the year, with a third quarter at minus 26% and a fourth quarter at minus 3, which would imply a total year with minus 33. The counterweight to this drop, as occurs in India, is that in 2021, it is expected that Brazil will be another one of the countries with the biggest increase in production, with a forecast of plus 29%, recovering most of the production loss this year. With all this, the current IHS estimate for the global market is 11% for the third quarter, 10% for the fourth quarter, a total year of minus 22, and for 2021, a significant rebound of 14%. These current market estimates for CIE imply a second half of the year that will be better in sales, therefore better in margin, better in results. And this will enable us to continue with our shareholder payout strategy, while generating cash flow and reducing debt. And we don't want to end this conference without giving out an optimistic message, but an optimistic message that is backed by the facts. We have generated operating cash flow and a positive net result in the worst half year in the history of the automotive sector. We have closed the month of June with the production levels of 60% while generating free cash flow and reducing the debt. The CIE business model is being stressed to significant limits, and we believe that it is passing the exam with high marks. That is why we trust that our management and our competitive position will make us the winners in this crisis. I'd like to thank you all for your time, and I would like to mention a small typo on page 10 posted on the CNMV website. You can find the correction on our website. Sales in China, 182 million versus the 106 that are shown in error. And with this, we close the presentation and move on to the Q&A. Thank you very much. We start with the first question about organic developments in the second quarter. Well, in Q2, if you're asking about the layoff, I'm sure the question is from Spain because that's what's in our minds. But it hasn't been the only question on workforce flexibility we've had. In other words, in various geographies, Spain and in other European countries, there have been layoffs or similar programs, but we've had to take other measures like reducing working hours, reducing wages, or using pools of hours in countries like Brazil, Mexico, or India. This is a figure of workforce flexibility, and as I said, it's been used very differently in different geographic areas. We have Brazil, where a certain number of workers have left. In India, we've used workforce flexibility a great deal because we had a large number of temporary workers, and we decided to use temporary workers and renew temporary contracts. Or regarding the layoff programs, they are completely different in the different European countries. There are countries like Spain where the administration covers approximately 30% and the company decides how much it supplements. We have countries like Germany where the company has to take on a small part because the administration takes on 80%, and in France, the administration takes on up to 70%, or in Italy, where they also take on 70 or 80%. Different countries in Eastern Europe can take up as much as 50% of the wage. So it's a method we've been using, basically in Spain, and similar progress in Europe with different coverages. And in other countries, we've used all the possible workforce flexibility measures. The next question is about financing. We're asked whether there's any additional cost and whether ICO financing has been obtained. Yes, there's ICO financing in Note 10. Up to June 30th, you can see all the details regarding financing as of June 30th and everything that has been done. But to summarize, ICOs, there are over 440 million, of which we have made use of slightly under 350. And regarding the financial cost of debt, it's true that we haven't seen an increase in financial spending in the second quarter, but it's a matter of schedules, the reviews associated to the various financing programs, and there will be a slight increase in financing costs. You'll see this in the third quarter of the year. The next question is, are there any references for takeover bids for Mahindra CIE? The law, what it currently says, is that the figure of the promoter in the case of Mahindra CIE is CIE Automotive and Mahindra jointly, and the promoters jointly cannot have more than 75%. If they did, we would have to go into a different company setup. And right now, with the additional 2% we bought, we have 58%, and Mahindra has approximately 11%. So this gives us slightly less than 70%, 69%. So we still have 6 points a margin, let's say, to reach the legal limit established by the Indian CNMV. The following question is about factoring and capex. Do we expect them to go back to pre-COVID levels? And what maintenance capex do we expect for the year or for the second half of the year? Well, I think that the factoring issue, we have reduced the factoring levels to half in absolute values, I mean, compared to December, very much in line with the drop in the activity, with the drop in sales. It was logical to have that drop in factory. And going back to some of the previous questions when we referred about the prospects for the second and third quarters, where production is gradually recovered on the market, the sector's activities, and therefore an increase in sales, we will continue to recover factoring levels. Well, before moving on to capex, this means, I said it during the presentation, but I would like to underline it, this means that the 90 million euros we have invested in working capital, 60 in the first and 30 in the second quarters, we have to expect a recovery. I'm not going to say all, but a significant part of this during the second half of the year via factoring, stabilization of production planning levels, stabilization in inventory, etc. And then regarding capex, the issue of capex, it's true that the second quarter has been taken to the limit. It's been a complete and absolute control taken to the limit, because we've said that the plants, it's not just that they had little activity with little maintenance. The plants were shut down, literally shut down. They were closed. So we do have to expect to have higher capex levels again in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, higher than in the second. And I think as a reference, I'm not promising anything, but as a reference, the first quarter, remember, there was a market drop of 20-some percent, activity levels around 80%, and there you'll be able to see a reference of what the capex was. So I think that this can serve as a reference, as a benchmark, and we consider that the capex in the third and fourth quarter, without a doubt, will be higher than in the second quarter. And the final question we have for the time being asks us to reconfirm whether the reduction of these 4,000 employees, as indicated in the CNMV report, is confirmed. It's not a mistake. You have in the presentation the 4,300 employees that have left. And I would like to remind you of something. In the annual report for 2019, when talking about human resources, there's an item related to flexibility and temporary employment was almost 20% of 28,000 employees. There are several employees. And as I said earlier, lessons learned. We have to understand, and we learned in difficult times in the past, that workforce flexibility is important when times like these come along. So yes, during the first half, 4,000 people have left, most of them in India. There are also some in Brazil and some in Mexico, United States and Europe, of course. And yes, I confirm the figure. Most of them are temporary workers or working for temporary employment companies. So there hasn't been any major restructuring or structural measures. There have been some, but it hasn't been in most cases. Another question about the restrictions to ICO loans. The question is whether there are any restrictions on dividend payouts or share buybacks. As far as I know, the ICO loans are exactly the same for everyone. The conditions are not negotiated. CIE cannot negotiate compared to what other companies have. And the ICO conditions are that those funds cannot be used for certain aspects, such as to pay out dividends or some other aspects. So this is a standard ICO program, and negotiations aren't involved. There are no more questions for the time being, so we can close here. Well, thank you all very much. I apologize for the technical problems, the delay, and everything that happened in line with the disaster that the second quarter has been. But we are at your disposal if you'd like any further clarification. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call has ended. You can now disconnect your lines. Thank you.